Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and we'll read the first 13 verses of this particular chapter, and we'll do a study on prayer. This is, an important subject. And prayer in the case that is before us is spoken of as being taught. Our Lord sets the example of prayer, and then one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." John taught his disciples. So the teaching on prayer is not something new, nor is it something that is just natural to us in the sense that you don't need some instruction about it. I think there is an element of understanding of our responsibility, but yet we really need to be taught on the subject of prayer. And our Lord will do a study on prayer for the sake of those disciples that were there with Him, and apparently in particular to this one who asked to be taught. So we want to read this text, and we'll bring then the message. Let's first of all just ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that You'll meet the need in hearts and lives today. Father, I'm conscious that we need some instruction in the area of prayer. Truth of the matter is that men have given a lifetime to the study of prayer and developed a good prayer life, but every one of us need a measure of instruction and need to be taught in this area. So I pray You'll bless the reading of Your Word to our hearts and trust Your will to be done. For I ask in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, Luke chapter 11. It came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." He said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.' I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. A son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Will he give him a stone, or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we notice that there are two sources of instruction. One from our Lord Himself, the other had come from John the Baptist to his disciples. And this particular disciple said, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So it was not uncommon for those that were in this sense responsible for the instruction of others to take that responsibility seriously and to begin to instruct and to teach. But it is important that we learn something about prayer, and we apply what we learn about prayer. I've often made the statement that we can do all the studying we want to and not have all the instruction, but we need the application in our lives as well. We need to be not only taught to pray, but to begin to pray. And to ask God and expect God to do some things. And we'll have reference to those things that are here in our text. Now, certainly in the model prayer that our Lord uses, He's not intending that this be just a thing to be repeated. The truth of the matter is that prayer becomes a part of us. I think back about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, great preacher of London, England, years ago. A friend of his made the statement that he kept company with the Lord and he could make the transition from an enjoyable day to a season of prayer without any trouble at all. In other words, he had practiced, had learned prayer so that he could put it into practice in a common fashion. The illustration, of course, was that the man was speaking on prayer and said he never had known anybody that could transition between the two like Charles Haddon Spurgeon could transition between a day of recreation and then just turn with full attention and say, thank you, Lord, for such a company as I've enjoyed today, etc. And so this prayer is not intended to just be a prayer of repetition as though there was something magical about this particular prayer. Now, I think that there's not anything wrong with using it and using the formula that is here, but just to make prayer something that is a point of repetition is certainly incorrect and not intended by our Lord. He wants us to learn to honestly pray. And that leads me to my first point. It'll seem very elementary as we begin in this particular study today, but relationship is necessary. A person cannot pray who does not really know the Lord. There's not any basis of approach to God. There is not anything that is magical here that is going to draw them into that point of attention as is necessary for prayer. So we have a relationship that is necessary. An unsaved person will not know how to pray. They'll not know really a great deal about prayer, never learn a great deal about prayer. In our text, the Lord said to say this, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And in that, there's more than just something to be repeated, but it is actually a fact that is stated today. And I want to be very clear about this, that God gave His only begotten Son. When our Lord went to the cross, He was going there to have then the capacity, the ability to draw into a relationship. The truth of the matter is, as we look at Calvary, it becomes so precious to us who are believers to know that God gave His Son, His only begotten Son. And then He brought us into the family of God today. I'm privileged to have a large family. A lot of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ today. And I enjoy the fellowship with them. If I could take an aside, I would point out to you that that's one of the great needs of the church today, is just that point of fellowship. Being able to come together and not only declaring, but experiencing that great love that we have one for another. So we've been brought into the family. Now, the Bible teaches that God is above in heaven. I think it's important that we understand that God is above us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Nor do we qualify from our vantage point and are able to claim that we actually have God in the sense of forgiveness and the establishment of that relationship with God. For that to be true, we must be born again. John records the fact of Nicodemus coming to the Lord by night. And in that encounter, The Lord speaks to the need of Nicodemus' heart. I think that involved in that encounter is the answer to a lot of questions, but the Lord does not answer Nicodemus like he asked the question, for he asked in a fleshly sense. But the Lord said to the need of his heart, you must be born again. And if we're ever going to pray aright, we're going to have to be born again. And involved in that is the fact of receiving Jesus Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, folks, I'm not just giving you this for information. I'm telling you the truth today, that if you're ever going to learn to pray, you're going to have a relationship with God. God's going to have to be very important to you and very close to you, and you very close to God. I believe that, secondly, if we're going to learn to pray, we have to recognize God's holiness. God's holiness. Now, he's not a God among gods. That's true. He is the God. He's a holy God. And he stirs us to repentance. Most of us are, and I speak personally, that we're rather lazy in this area of being stirred to movement. And especially movement toward God. There has to be an acknowledgement or a recognition of the holiness of God. If I could digress for a moment, I would take time to point out to you that if there was ever a day that an anemic God is preached, it's today. God's greater than we give him credit for. I'll guarantee you that he is. He's still able to still the storms. He's still able to speak, peace be still, and see waves and wind cease their activities. Especially to the endangerment of his children. And we need to recognize him in his holiness and who he is, and realize that he's stirring us to repentance and faith today. And then as we think about our study on prayer this morning, there must be a resolving of ourselves to God's will. There's a fellow that writes a paper, and I'll not mention it because you might recognize it. But he wrote an article and a message several years ago. And in that message, he said that the matter of obedience and making Jesus Christ Lord is optional. I've never found that in the Word of God anywhere. And I have read it through at least once, that it is not true. There is a matter of the will of God. Truth is, knowing what I know about Jesus Christ, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than where I am, doing what I am. Resolved to His will. I believe it's safer to be in the worst danger in the will of God than it is to be in a secure place outside the will of God. There's a fellow that he's home with the Lord now. And he had a unique way of saying things. He's just a plain old country boy, raised up down on the Brazos River. There's a fellow asked him to go with him one time on a trip. He said, "I won't go." The guy asked him why. He said, "Because you're backslidden and God's going to kill you and I don't want to witness it." Now, that's pretty plain. Will of God. Have we forgotten that He loved us as He loved us? Have we forgotten that it's our responsibility as His children to walk in fellowship with Him? To be in the place we ought to be, carrying the message we ought to carry to a lost and a dying world? Resolve to the will of God. To ask selfishly indicates a rebellious heart. And we'll have nothing from God if we ask in a selfish fashion. But there needs to be then the acceptance and the understanding of the will of God for our lives. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to have to surrender to preach to be in the will of God. That'd be rather grotesque. I would that every one of us were a witness, but for everybody to be a preacher, I don't know that that's necessary. But God does have a will for your life. And I trust you'll resolve yourself to God's will. That leads us then to a positive and an active part of prayer. Petition. Not only do I need prayer, but you need prayer as well. Sometimes God will do the strangest thing. I had a particular burden for a friend of mine one time, and I went by just to visit with him and to encourage him. And he looked at me rather strangely and said, "Who sent you?" And he was asking an honest question. He thought somebody had sent me by. I said, "Nobody sent me by except I felt like I needed to come by and see you." "Are you sure nobody sent you by?" And it turns out there was a great need in his life that I needed to be aware of and praying about. And would not have known had the Spirit of God not sent me by, that I might make petition for him, appeal to God in Jesus' name for that person. Things would work out well. We are needy today. If we have difficulties, the greatest need in your life is for somebody to appeal to God for you. I realize that there'll be other issues that are involved. But the real issue is God involved? Petition God for the sake of that soul. And then he teaches on the matter of daily bread and daily needs. And it gives a story of a man. And I want you to know that this friend of his, he went to at midnight. So if I show up at your door at midnight sometime, we'll test friendship. But this man went to his neighbor because he'd had another friend come by. And he had absolutely nothing to set before him, and they asked for 3 loaves. The Bible said that he didn't arise and give it to him because of who he was. But he arose and gave it to him because he was importuned, or he just stayed at it. You know, there's not anything like somebody just nagging you to make you finally do something. I won't even ask for a show of hands from the men here. But sometimes folks will do for us. Now, I believe I've got some friends I could go to at midnight. I can knock on their door and tell them I had a need. And they'd be willing to do what they could. And I'm grateful for that kind of friendship. But as we think about this man and his friendship, he gave because he finally was wearied by the neighbor just staying at the door. You wonder why the Lord told that story. In one sense, it doesn't seem to fit, but it does fit because God knows how to give better gifts than that neighbor had and gave. Oh, if I could just appeal to you today to learn to trust the Lord and to petition the throne of grace for friends. There have been some great men of God and men of prayer. And I've looked into their lives. It was not that they were necessarily different than us, but they just learned that God was gracious and would give. And give exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And I can usually think of a whole lot. But God's gracious. Far more generous than we many times think that He is. Then he asked, as he told the story about a father loving his children. Most of the time, we do love them. Once in a while, it'd have been easier to work them over. But God never gives us that which would be wrong. He always gives us that which is right. Earthly Father may meet certain needs and give us certain things. I thought one time I'd borrow my dad's car, and I said, I need to use your car. I'd like to use your car tonight. And he said, I'd just soon you didn't. So he settled that pretty quick. But I want you to know that the Heavenly Father knows you have needs. Far better than any earthly father. And I had a good dad. I wouldn't take for my dad. Wouldn't take for the heritage I have. A lot of things I could say about him, but the best thing I can say for him, he was a good dad. Amen. He loved the kids. He was not uniquely emotional about it, but you would know that he cared. But our God in heaven is more caring than an earthly father is. Then a final thought. We need to seek forgiveness and practice forgiveness. He said, lead us and deliver us from any temptation that's out there that would take us away from the things of God. I've got just a 2-point conclusion. God's capable. Ask God. God's capable. Ask God. Let's stand together. Musicians, make your way to the front and prepare the invitation number. I'll pray with the rest. Father, it's a real joy just to be able to call you Father. To do just a few moments of study on prayer and learn some things that probably we all need to know, and that is that you're a God greater than we could ever have any need. Now, I want to trust you in this portion of the service we call the invitation, that your will be done. For it is in that precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.